For many of you, week 23 next week, the 21st through the 27th, will be the final week of fantasy basketball. For many of you, you're already done. You've experienced the final week of fantasy basketball. And then for some, week 24, a 9-day scoring period will actually be the final day. But we are going to get you ready for week 23. Hopefully you'll be in your finals by then. I'm Adam Azer. I'm here with Sergio Gonzalez. What's going on, Serge?
Not too much. Are you in any finals?
Well, funny you should ask. I'm in the semifinals right now in the office league that I'm in here.
All
right. 9 categories.
Okay.
I am down 9-0.
Oh, and it's Thursday.
It's Thursday. I am down 9-0. I have a good team.
Uh-huh.
I ran into a buzzsaw, 2 buzzsaws, Dwight Howard and Derrick Rose.
Oh.
They are having, like, career nights every night right now.
Absolutely. And are any of the categories tight right now, or
I could theoretically probably lose, like, 3-6.
I think at this point, you'd probably just rather lose by a lot than a little.
No. I don't. 9-0. I can't live with 9-0.
You can't. I'm one of those guys that if I'm going to lose, especially in a playoff scenario, I would rather know I'm out of it on Tuesday or Wednesday.
I know I'm out of it.
But I don't want to lose
9-0.
I would hate for it to come down to Sunday and you need that one last rebound and then you fall that one rebound short. I can't live with that.
I don't play fantasy sports that way, actually. Uh-huh. I never look at my matchups. I never like to see who I'm going against.
You're one of those guys that at the end of the scoring period,
I set my lineup. I keep track on, you know, when I log into CBSSports.com, I see my score in the top. I keep track. That's it. I happen to know I'm playing Derrick Rose and Dwight Howard just because I know who my opponent has, whatever.
Right.
But those are the only 2 players I know from the team.
Right.
So I just like to set the lineup, forget it, and then at the end of the week, see how I did.
That's interesting. I'd like to hear what our listeners out there, what kind of fantasy players they are. They should send us some feedback on that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's tough because if you know who you're playing against, if you might be in a lot of leagues and you might have to root for one guy in one league and root against one guy in the other
right.
league, you might be playing against a player on your favorite NBA team, and
right.
that's torture. I hate that. So I do the same thing for football. I never look at who I'm playing against. I'm going to do the same thing for baseball. I don't want to know.
If right.
you're going against a Yankee starting pitcher, I don't want to know it.
I could see that.
I could dig it. Dig it. Good. Well, we welcome you to the show now, and we're going to get into it, and we're going to look at next week, then we're going to take a look at just some storylines like Tim Duncan's injury, Tyreek Evans possibly returning for next week, other things along those lines. But let's start out with week 23, and there are no teams that play either 2 or 5 games. So basically, you're looking at an entire league playing 3 or 4, and most team and it's almost evenly split. So we won't really get into that. But some teams with favorable matchups, 4 games against opponents that are pretty easy defensively. Sacramento, Miami, Chicago, Oklahoma City, and Phoenix. So how about we start with Sacramento and Tyreek Evans? Starter sit next week, and what about Beno Udrih?
That's going to be a mess. Hopefully Tyreek Evans can return over the weekend. They're hoping that he might be able to make that long-awaited return on Sunday. That would be great for fantasy owners, because if that's the case, they're going to get a chance to measure his appeal for the upcoming scoring period. Initially, the Kings say they're going to bring him off the bench. They're probably going to try to mix in Tyreek Evans and Marcus Thornton, who's played so well in Tyreek Evans' absence. So the player I actually expect to take the biggest hit is going to be Beno Udrih. But in this type of scoring period where, as you mentioned, they play the Suns, who give up like 105 points per game. The Nuggets give up about 103 points per game. They play them twice. And the Utah Jazz also give up over 100 points per game. The Kings are going to be in some really high-scoring games. They're going to be playing in those type of games that end up 110 to 108, something like that. So I expect all 3 guards to be viable options, but we're not going to know until Sunday when Tyreek Evans returns how viable Tyreek Evans is going to be and how much he'll mix into that rotation. The other guy I think is going to lose that a lot is Francisco Garcia.
Okay, so those 3 guards, Udrih, Evans, Thornton.
I think they're going to be viable. I think Garcia's not going to be, but we're going to need to see on Sunday exactly where Tyreek Evans fits in. Is he going to play 20 to 25 minutes per game? Is he going to be ready to take on a more significant role? He's missed a long time. So it's very possible that it could take him a few games before he can get up to playing 25 to 30 minutes.
Miami is at Cleveland, at Washington, at Minnesota, at New Jersey, salivating right now if you own LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. What if you own Mike Bibby?
Yes, Mike Bibby is a real sleeper there for deeper leagues, especially if you're in a category league and it's the last couple of scoring periods and you're trying to close the gap in three-pointers. I think Bibby is going to be a solid sleeper there. With Mario Chalmers out possibly through the entirety of Week 23, if he does return, it's going to be on Sunday, April 3rd. I expect Bibby to get some excellent run. He's probably going to be playing 30 to 35 minutes per game. He's going to get around 10 shot attempts per game. And with these types of matchups, there's going to be some blowouts. The Heat are going to be able to run away against the likes of teams like Cleveland, Washington, Minnesota, and New Jersey. They should all be blowouts. And you should see players like Mike Bibby get a little bit more shot attempts than they would in a tighter game.
Okay, Chicago, Oklahoma City, Phoenix. Any fringe guys that jump out at you there that you want to start?
With Chicago, right now you're starting their big four. They have Boozer is back in the mix. He hasn't looked 100% healthy, but you're definitely going to start him with these matchups. I expect him to get back into a decent rhythm at least over the weekend, and unless something happens where he suffers a setback, you're definitely going to want to start him. Joakim Noah is going to be able to really produce well on the boards against the likes of Minnesota, Detroit, and Toronto specifically. With a lot of extra shot attempts going up, there's going to be a lot more chances for rebounds. Derrick Rose is obviously a no-brainer. And then Luol Deng, you're going to start. But outside of that right now, maybe Kyle Korver in a deeper category league for possible boosts in three-point shooting, but really it's just those four.
And nothing for Oklahoma City or Phoenix?
Oklahoma City, I like James Harden as a real sleeper this week. He's only active in about 50% of leagues, despite the fact that he's actually been averaging around 17 points per game over the last 10 appearances. I expect him to put up some high teen scoring on a consistent basis this week. Plays Golden State, Phoenix, and the Clippers in a four-game scoring period. It's going to be a very productive week for him. Kendrick Perkins also hasn't been great since joining the Thunder. Part of that is the long layoff due to the injury. The other reason is that he hasn't really been asked to take more than three or four shots per game. In high-volume games like the ones that they're going to be playing in Week 23, he could easily, without much effort, average around 9 to 10 points per game to go with what has been decent rebounding and decent scoring. So I like Perkins, and I like James Harden for the Thunder.
Toronto, Minnesota, Atlanta, Orlando, teams with poor matchups. They all play three times next week. They have difficult matchups. That's Toronto, Minnesota, Atlanta, Orlando. So who sticks out?
Well, with Toronto, we've gotten a lot of run recently from players like Leandro Barbosa, DeMar DeRozan, who's our start of the week this week. Those are fringe guys that we've been able to count on a lot because of some favorable matchups this week. That's definitely not the case. Milwaukee, Chicago, and Orlando, all three of those teams allow fewer than 95 points per game, so they're going to be in some much tighter contests this week. Leandro Barbosa, a guy who's only really playing 20 minutes per game, but in that short amount of playing time has been able to average some ridiculous scoring numbers. This is not the week to start him. DeMar DeRozan, you're going to want to weigh your options, but if you have an alternative who's similar to him, who has better matchups, you want to go that route.
Okay, did we get to Minnesota, Atlanta, Orlando?
Minnesota is, they're kind of a mess right now with what's going on with Kevin Love and Mike Beasley. Anthony Randolph and Darko Milicic are kind of viable fringe options for deeper leagues, but you're really going to want to pay close attention to the health developments over the weekend for both Love and Beasley. If you're looking at those guys, you're probably in a desperate situation and you're going to ignore the matchups anyway, but they're definitely not in for favorable matchups this week.
Darko or Perkins?
I'm going Perkins. Definitely looking at the matchups there. He's in a situation where he is going to play big minutes regardless of anybody's health. I'm going Perkins.
Okay, Darko or the triple-double, Chuck Hayes.
Chuck Hayes,
dropped
right?
a triple-double on Wednesday.
He did, and he's able to put up that type of production with Luis Scola playing well, with Patrick Patterson playing well. Houston matchups aren't great. They're not bad. They're just there this week. Definitely going with Chuck Hayes.
Atlanta has Orlando, Boston, and the Rockets. The Rockets are on the road. The other two are at home. And the Hawks are terrible at home sometimes, yeah. That's for sure. Jamal Crawford has been just brutal lately. You got to sit him, right?
Absolutely. And the thing is, he's actually playing 30 to 35 minutes per game. It's really the shot attempts that have varied greatly from game to game. One game he'll shoot the ball just five times, and the next game he'll shoot it 13, 14 times. In a do or die championship scenario for fantasy owners. You can't trust a guy like that. It's been the case with him for over a month now, so it's not a fluky thing where he's just in a slump. This is just the way the Hawks are using him right now. Luke Ridenour being in the mix there. Kirk Heinrich being in the mix in Atlanta has kind of cut into his appeal. So you definitely want to avoid him.
Okay, so this is probably a no-brainer. Jamal Crawford or Jordan Crawford?
Who would have thought?
This
Who
guy
would have thought? We'd be talking
like
about
a must start.
Jordan Crawford being a better start than Jamal Crawford in a fantasy championship scenario, but that's definitely the case. Nick Young, he's going to get his shot attempts for the remainder of the season. Jordan Crawford is looking at a volume of around 15 shots per game. Washington plays four games in week 23. Definitely a great play. You never thought going into the season that you're going to have your fantasy hopes rely on a guy like Jordan Crawford for a championship game, but that's the case right now.
Okay. And Orlando, how about Jameer Nelson? You like him next week? He's got at Atlanta, Charlotte at home, at Toronto.
I do like him because defensively, the guys he's going to be playing against, Teague in Atlanta, Heinrich and Teague, that combination. But actually, Teague's been dropped out of the rotation for the last couple games. So it's going to be Heinrich. He could take Heinrich for sure. Then he's looking at Jose Calderon in Toronto, who's not known for his defensive prowess. And in Charlotte, DJ Augustine, not a great defender himself. Jameer Nelson should be able to average around 13 to 14 points and 6 to 7 assists easily. He has stepped up his production over the course of the last couple weeks. His matchups aren't great. But in terms of Orlando's not going to be in some high-scoring games this week, but his matchups on an individual basis are a little bit more favorable.
Turkoglu or James Harden? Turkoglu's got three. Harden's got four.
Harden. Turkoglu, I don't want to ride my fantasy hopes on a guy who's been so up and down all season long. And Harden, as I mentioned, I love his matchups this week, consistently getting around 16-17 points per game. Give me Harden.
DeMar DeRozan or Carlos Delfino? Delfino, I think he had like 31 last night.
Yes. He's got the extra game, better matchups. Give me Delfino.
Okay. So let's look at some injury storylines. Tim Duncan, how long is he going to be out? 2 to 3 weeks, 4 to 5 games?
Well, it looks like they're going to try to bring him back at some point in week 23. Listen, they're right now just worried about the playoffs. They're not going to risk Tim Duncan getting hurt at any point for the remainder of the regular season. They've kind of settled into where they're going to be for their playoff run. Tim Duncan is probably going to play in a very restricted role when he does come back. So for all intents and purposes, I'm going to write off Tim Duncan as his fantasy season being over.
Yeah. So let's say you're a fantasy owner who has been riding Tim Duncan this year, and now you need a big man coming down the stretch in your finals and your semifinals. Here are some options that are quite possibly available. We talked about Darko Milicic, 65% ownership. Chuck Hayes owned in 66% of leagues. Dwan Blair, 71%, not really playing very well lately.
Mm-hmm.
Tiago Splitter,
yes.
20%. Spencer Hawes, 26%. And I don't know if there's any names I'm leaving off that you want to mention. But we're looking at Milicic, Hayes, Blair, Splitter, Hawes.
Yes. Samardo Samuels from Cleveland, he's available in a lot of leagues. I also like from Toronto, Ed Davis has been playing particularly well. If you're looking for a guy for rebounds, Reggie Evans is going to be one of those guys that can get you 10 rebounds per game. He won't get you anything else, but he'll get you 10 rebounds per game. So depends if what type of league you're in. There are options out there. There are solutions. Losing Tim Duncan is not the end of the world right now. Kenyon Martin, very quietly for the Denver Nuggets, is actually putting up around 12 to 13 points and 7 rebounds per game. So that's a guy who a lot of fantasy owners have written off. He's available, and he's producing well on a consistent basis.
Steven Jackson, day-to-day with a hamstring injury. You feel all right starting him next week?
No, not at all. Steven Jackson is in danger of being shut down. It sounds like the Bobcats are ready to call it a season for him. You got to give him credit for playing through an injury that may have shut down a lot of other players at this point. The Bobcats are hanging on to playoff hopes, believe it or not, by a thread.
Well, so last night, Wednesday night, they lost. That was a crusher.
That was a crusher, and that's probably going to be what does Jackson in for the remainder of the season. They were trying to push him through it because of their playoff hopes. But right now, it doesn't look like he's going to be playing another game for the Bobcats.
On Tuesday, we looked at, or on Monday, we looked at the most added and most dropped list. We talked about a lot of guys on here, but we'll break it out again. Number one on the most added list is Jordan Farmar. And I was talking to fantasy football guru Jamie Eisenberg, and he said he's relying on Jordan Farmar right now in his semifinals. And I guess a lot of people are. So he's number one, his ownership up
38%
to 54% next week, up 38%.
Jordan Farmar is a tricky situation because obviously this fantasy boost that he's enjoying is as a result of Darren Williams' injury. Darren Williams is going to be reevaluated on Friday. He's going to join the Nets in Orlando, which I think is a good sign. If they were just going to shut him down for the remainder of the season, they can do that from New Jersey. He doesn't have to make the flight all the way down to Orlando. They play a back-to-back set on Friday and Saturday in Orlando and Atlanta. I don't think they bring him back on Friday because they're not going to want to bring him back and play back-to-back nights. But I do think the fact that he's joining the Nets on their road trip is a good sign. I think he could be back in the mix for week 23. Obviously, that's something you're going to need to monitor over the weekend. If he is back, Jordan Farmar all of a sudden becomes obsolete in fantasy because we've seen Jordan Farmar put up these great numbers and assists and decent scoring numbers as well. But whenever he's played alongside Darren Williams, he missed a couple games, came back, and then Jordan Farmar completely disappeared. So if Darren Williams is in the mix, don't fool yourself. Jordan Farmar is not going to be suitable for any format. But if he suffers any kind of a setback this weekend, then Jordan Farmar could be a great start. Not just a good start, a great start.
And he's a four-start guy.
Yes.
So if Darren Williams doesn't play, mm-hmm. would you take Farmar over Calderon, who's on
yes.
our poor matchups list? Would
yes.
you take
so
him?
I absolutely know. If the Nets say on Saturday or Sunday Darren Williams is done for the season, Jordan Farmar.
Farmar or Nelson, Jameer Nelson, for three games.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to say Nelson's still there. Nelson's there.
Farmar or Ty Lawson for three games. Farmar for four or Lawson for three.
Farmar with the extra game.
Moving on down the most added list, Tony Douglas is number four, up to 59% ownership.
Yeah, he's consistently getting around 13 shots per game for the Knicks. One thing that I noticed when I was looking at the numbers is
Let me guess. Sometimes he's like 10 of 13. Sometimes he's 1 of 13.
Yes, that is part of it. But I was also alarmed. Something that kind of stood out to me was how close the shot attempts have gotten for Tony Douglas and Carmelo. Carmelo's shot attempts have dropped since that start that he got off to. He was off to a great start. Over his last five games, Melo is actually only averaging around 14.8 shot attempts per game. And Tony Douglas is averaging 13 shots per game. So you're looking at a Knicks team that is almost getting as many shot attempts per game from Tony Douglas as they are Carmelo Anthony. So that's kind of something that fantasy owners should pay attention to in deeper leagues. Douglas, as Mr. Azer just mentioned, and he knows very well as a Knicks fan, he's one of those guys that can give you 20 one night and then give you 6 or 7 the next. But the potential is there for him to score 20 points per game. And right now, if you're looking on the waiver wire, there aren't a lot of guys like that out there. And if you're in a pinch, you need that last-second guard replacement option, a guy like Tony Douglas can help you.
And they play the Nets, Cavaliers, and Magic.
So good matchups.
All at home.
Yes.
Next week. Tiago Splitter is one spot behind Tony Douglas. He's fifth. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to add about Splitter.
Well, again, he's kind of similar to Tony Douglas. Not a guy you want to start if you can avoid it. But at this stage in the game, a lot of fantasy owners are looking for that injury replacement center. They're basically looking for anybody viable, and I think Tiago Splitter might be the most viable guy out there for you right now. He is, as we mentioned, playing more minutes with Tim Duncan sideline. I don't think Duncan's going to be playing big minutes, even if he does play at any point in Week 23. So Splitter has a chance to continue to put up decent numbers as he has over the course of the week, this past week. He's actually a player that we liked as a sleeper coming into the season. I'm gonna admit I missed the boat on that one. He definitely wasn't a sleeper because he didn't get much playing time this year. But now we're seeing what it was that we saw in him at the beginning of the season. If he got this type of playing time all season, he could have been this type of player. He can get you around 11, 13 points and 6 or 7 rebounds.
For more, check out Sergio's waiver wire column. He'll tell you who to pick up. He does like Jordan Crawford, and Jordan Farmar. Also, Tony Allen, Jody Meeks, Marvin Williams, among others. Ekpe Udoh is an interesting player.
Yes.
More of a defensive guy, but Yeah, I mean, plays for the Warriors, and he's getting some run right now.
Yes,
so check out Sergio's waiver wire column on fantasynews.cbsports.com. Sergio, how are you doing in your leagues?
Well, we play in so many leagues. It's varied. I am in three different semifinals this week, so hopefully my odds are good of making at least one, right?
Yeah, I think so. As long as you're not down 9-0. Oh, good luck.
Maybe if I was playing your team, I'd have a better chance.
Yeah, no, I think anybody would lose to the team I'm playing against this week.
You ran into a buzzsaw.
I did. It was just horrible, horrible timing. So for Sergio Gonzalez, I'm Adam Azer. Send us an email at dmfantasyhoops@cbs.com. D is in Darko, M is in Milicic. fantasyhoops@cbs.com. Follow Sergio on Twitter at CBS Gonzalez, GONZALEZ, and follow us at CBS Fantasy News. We'll see you on Monday.